RadioArchives.com presents Murder Among the Dying, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by Police Captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, Murder Among the Dying. Chapter 1. Appointment with Death. It was beginning to rain, a rather heavy drizzle, as the car pulled up in front of the big building. City Hall was not far distant, nor were the other great edifices housing the various courts of law. Across the street was the Department of Charities and the tax offices. From this particular vicinity stemmed many of the influences governing the big city. By day there was intense activity. At night, the section slept more soundly than a suburb. The driver got out, turned up his coat collar against the drizzle, and ran around the car to open the door for his passenger. He extended a helping hand. The passenger needed one, for he was blind. A patrolman swung around the corner. "Good evening, Mr. Quinn," he called out. "Anything I can do? Kind of late for you to be going into your office, isn't it?" "This is Patrolman O'Keefe." The blind man smiled. "I should have known your voice, Mike. Yes, it is an unusual hour, but somehow the work of a special district attorney never seems to stop. Nasty evening." Silk Kirby, the blind man's companion and confidant, was now leading Tony Quinn into the building. "If you ask me," he said to Quinn, in his voice a note of irritation, "this is a fool's errand. You ought to be home, sir, not out in this weather. An anonymous note asking you to be in your office at 11:30? Anyone who makes such an appointment is crazy."
"Or compelled to designate such an hour through circumstances he can't control," Quinn answered. This city-owned building, in which Tony Quinn had his offices, was some 20 stories high. His quarters were on the 16th floor. Because of the shortage of help, there was no elevator operator this late at night. But one of the lifts had been turned into a self-operated elevator. Silk led Tony Quinn into it, closed the door, and pushed the button for the 16th floor. As the lift ascended, Quinn sighed, hooked the crook of his cane on one arm, and those blind, staring eyes of his became alive and alert. Tony Quinn was not blind, as all but three people in the world believed him to be. Instead, he could see perfectly. In fact, his eyesight was almost uncanny. "Who knows?" he said now, as the veil dropped from these eyes of his. "But that we might find something interesting developing from this date. Or it may have been made by some poor bank teller who has played the horses, lost his shirt and the bank's funds, and is too bashful to come and surrender in daylight."
"It may be something like that," Silk prophesied. "Wait and see. Why didn't the writer of that note make an appointment with the regular DA? Why bother you?"
Quinn laughed.